Welcome to The Future Built Smarter, a podcast in which IMEG engineers discuss innovative and trend-setting building and infrastructure design with architects, owners, and others in the AEC industry. I'm your host, Joe Payne, back again with Mike Lawless for the second part of a conversation with IMEG's Steve Germano, who is our software engineering team lead. Steve, in the last episode, we talked about how we got to where we are today with Meg, our chatbot. Now it's been out for a while, and what's been the reaction that you've gotten from people?
It's been a great feedback so far from our user base. We've seen our usage continually rise. Our product owner has been going out and doing different trainings and sessions with different offices and users. And we're learning a lot by looking at analytics and seeing what types of questions people are asking. We had certain data buckets kind of preset up at launch that we thought, okay, here's where the data is going to come from. Here's what people are going to ask. And we're starting to see emerging patterns. And it's very cool to see these emerging patterns because they end up being new workflows. So I'll give you a great example. We had a user in IT who was consistently copying, pasting, give me the information, address, email address, contact information for XYZ user. And then we looked through their analytics, they started going from one user to three users to five users to 10 users per question and just kept growing it. And so we're like, let's go call them up and see what's going on. And we call them up and then we end up finding out that she's using Meg for a workflow where she has to constantly look up this user information to copy and paste it into some other place in some other database. And we're like, interesting. We would have never known that type of use case if it were not for seeing those analytics and the data behind the scenes. So we actually, in that conversation, discovery of that workflow, we said, oh, well, did you know you can get a list of all employees per location, per office, per team, if you structure your prompts like or questions like this, like this, like this. And so we've now given them a tool that we did, you know, I'd love to say we planned that out, but that was not unplanned feature. And that kind of helped accelerate someone's workflow. That's just a unforeseen benefit of having a natural language system connected to our data. So yeah, it was really cool.
I guess, Steve, the other question I would have are some of the experiences that we also had is when you start asking questions to a data set, you may find that there's data in your system that you weren't aware of, or I think you talked about in the last episode, maybe is more out of date than we would like it to be. So how do we, what's the process for dealing with those sorts of things as well?
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. We, I had stated, I think in our last session, we have a new role called Meg Librarians, right? Those are the point people that are in charge of their sector of data. And so we had to go build some back-end dashboards, some back-end tooling, so that those librarians can have access to all of their data and see, okay, here's all the files we have, here's the parsing status and all that kind of stuff, so they can start to identify and self-serve the system themselves. We also then built something called a lab plugin where they can ask questions and it only searches through a particular location of content. So they can have a new document they're about to send out to the company, put it in this location, Meg will parse it, and then they can talk to Meg in a testing environment to see how it's going to respond. And they may tweak that document so that they can make sure they get the right types of questions surfacing in Meg's responses before it goes out to the general public. So we had to build these little toolkits behind the scenes. Nobody really sees, then the end users don't see. And then we have a whole Meg admin center that is a separate tool that our primary product owner uses to manage Meg. So if a new department comes up or a librarian comes up to our product owner and says, hey, I've got this new area where I want Meg to consume that data. Our product owner can go in, click a button on that area, and it can automatically will be consumed and be real-time data for Meg. So we had to build all those pieces to kind of make sure we can maintain the overall system. It was a lot of behind the scenes work there to just make sure you can actually maintain it in the long run.
So I guess, Steve, another way to look at this, and is it fair to say that every day as our data librarians work with Meg, Meg gets smarter? Is that another way to think about this?
Absolutely. As soon as you change a document, you add more documents, that data parsed in real time, and that data is now available to Meg's memory. Mm-hmm.
Well, one question that we haven't really touched on is how we're asking engineers to use it. And you know, there's a fear out there that maybe AI is going to replace people. And maybe this is a question for both of you as how do we see our engineers really using AI?
You know, at IMEG, we have a really robust mentorship program. And that's one of the things we pride ourselves on is, you know, mentoring our young engineers. And we encourage them to ask questions. And we get a lot of great questions. But even better with this chatbot is chatbots are not judgmental. There's no, you know, even we tell folks that there's no stupid questions or any of those things, you know, sometimes they're not as likely to ask questions. So one of the things that this chatbot does is it allows our young engineers to go in and ask questions in a conversational way. And with the large language model, not only can you ask that first question, you can ask it a follow-up question. And they're really asking that question to the broader body of work and resources that IMEG possesses. And that's a great place for them to start. Now, there's no way that you're going to develop young engineers without, you know, senior engineers working with them. So I think this is just that example of, it's not going to replace engineers. It's going to, what we talk about is it's going to augment them. It's going to supplement them. It's going to help give them that information to get a better solution for their client. You know, this is a chatbot version of it. We've got other things in place and some of our other tools where it's that same thought process of how does it, you know, Microsoft uses the term co-pilot. How is, or, you know, artificial intelligence a co-pilot for our engineers to help them in their everyday workflows?
Yeah, I'll add to that point. I just foresee, you know, co-pilots, AIs as just that. They're a peer, right? They're not going to replace our current peers, right? But it's like having someone I can bug and ask 50 questions to a day, and I know I'm not going to aggravate them, right? I know I'm not going to eat their time up. Where if I make a call to Mike and ask him some questions, I want to be conscious of his time. I respect that. With an AI, I have someone who I can riff with. And we do this as engineers. And one of the first AIs to come out were code pairing AIs to help us code. And it's tremendous. It helps us, I'd say, 30, 40, 50% efficiency in some cases, where it's just having someone sit by you, help you all day long. I see that in our engineering industry, architectural industry, all across AEC, where and as the technology continues to develop, it's just going to get better and better. More and more knowledge will be available to it. Like, you know, one of the things we're working on currently is you know, giving Meg access to code. And can I start asking her code questions and getting information back and kind of riffing, going back and forth on that? So I think there's a lot of opportunity there to use it as a tool, right? Use it as a digital peer to help you learn. I've seen accelerated learning. A lot of papers coming out have showed accelerated learning from younger engineers. So I think that's one of a couple of the main real values we're going to see out of this.
And I think the other part of this is AI is it's here and it's only going to expand. So when you think about, you know, our engineers, do we want them to go out to ChatGPT and ask their engineering questions and get answers where there could be hallucinations and these other things? Or do we want access to a curated data set that we're very confident in where they can go and get answers to their questions in a conversational way? And so that's another one of the big advantages of us having Meg internally is it's our data, it's our data set, it's curated, it's reliable information, and you know, our engineers all have access to that.
One thing that came out, it still sticks with me to this day from our early prototypes, initial feedback we got back was no difference in the data Meg was pulling from. So it acts the same data, but we didn't have links going to the original sources. And so the engineers were like, hey, how do I trust this? Oh, well, it's pulling from your data. How can you not trust it? It's your information, right? And they were like, well, how do I verify it? It's like, okay, we got to trust yet verify. And so as Meg pulls information and provides an answer, well, where are you getting that from, Meg? Oh, here's the links on what I pulled. And here's the links right to those documents. Oh, you asked for, hey, how do I size the steam trap and what size pipe do I use for this or that? It's calculating that and can give you that information, but I need to go see the pipe chart, right, to verify it. Well, here's the link. Boom, click, there you are. And so that trust but verify really stuck with me. And that's something that we always make sure every answer Meg supplies is providing a link going back to that original source of truth. And the engineers can make those informed decisions based on that information.
Steve, we've got this great tool. We're using it. Where do you go from here? What are some of those next, what are those next steps? What are we going to add into Meg? What are you working on developing in this area?
One key area is providing more data to Meg. So we have we do tens of thousands of projects a year, and mining that data is very, very complicated at scale. That's something we're looking at providing and doing. Another piece is workflows. So as we start to see, like I mentioned earlier, some of those emergent workflows coming out of analytic patterns, and getting feedback from our user base, is a lot of people want to just say, hey, Meg, here's some receipts. Go fill in my expense report for me. Very simple example. Other people may want to start to talk with Meg about code. Hey, I have a building in this area, in this jurisdiction. One, do we have any licensed engineers there? Two, can you provide me code on XYZ topic? Are there any local, state, or city jurisdictional overrides for that code that I need to be conscious of? So trying to now focus from, okay, we've got a great search engine and it's doing really well. How do we now focus on what do we do as engineers on a day-to-day basis? And how do we start adding in different workflow capabilities to Meg? So we're really excited about a lot of the things that we're working on this year, and don't know if it's ever going to really end, right? More and more things just keep coming up as more folks start really diving into Meg and using it. So more ideas crop up. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. One of the ways I think about these chatbots is it gives engineers, access to data and information and experience that you could probably never experience in a lifetime of being an engineer, because now you have access to a group's, greater knowledge. And so it's just, I think it's a great tool and something that's going to continue to benefit engineers and our clients and the people that use the projects that we work on. So, with that being said, Steve, if you're a group and you haven't started your journey, or you're early on in your journey along this path to using AI, what kind of advice would you have for them?
I would say go be a hobbyist first. There's a lot of ways to kind of experiment with AIs, whether that's computer vision and Stable Diffusion or LLMs and just talking back and forth with a chatbot. There's a lot of tools out there to start exploring with. And then I would say in parallel with that, so you got to kind of learn the tech, but then in parallel with that, you really need to get back to what we talked about in our first episode of what do you do with your data? Is your data even ready for it to be consumed by AI? And that's a whole kind of deep topic there that's needs to be explored. And it takes people a lot of time to curate their data and cleanse their data. So I would look at both of those two areas, and I would try to shorten the overall time frame by running those two in parallel.
That was Steve Germano, iMEG's software engineering team lead. To hear the first part in this two-part series on iMEG's use of artificial intelligence, you can find us on the web at imegcorp.com or on any podcast app. We'll be back with another episode of The Future Built Smarter. Until then, thanks for listening and take care.